You and me and our piece of Citigroup.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Citigroup says this morning it reached a deal that gives U.S. taxpayers up to a 40% stake in the bank. The government, along with private investors, will convert some preferred stock in the bank to common shares. Some of the private investors that say they'll make the switch are the Government of Singapore Investment Group, Capital World Investors, and a Saudi Arabian prince. Citi will also suspend dividends under the agreement and reshape its board of directors. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch has more.
There are lots of funny names we can use to characterize today's $25 billion deal with Citigroup. Temporary receivership, pre-privatization,
conservatorship or government stewardship, but it's nationalization in reality.
Peter Hahn is a finance professor at the Cass Business School in London. He says today the debate over nationalization ended.
The government is not just taking an equity stake at 40%. Citi's deposits are guaranteed. The hand of the government really is all over the institution. The real risk is being borne by the taxpayer.
Hahn says these days it's hard to know what to teach his finance students.
Speaking at a business school, I think it's a very sad day. It's a disappointment that our capitalist system had such a large failure.
He says we need to overhaul the governance and regulation of banks to prevent this from ever happening again. For the time being, Citi has $45 billion in cash and guarantees from the government to keep afloat. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
New York's Attorney General has subpoenaed Bank of America for names. Names of Merrill Lynch executives who received almost $4 billion in year-end bonuses. The bonuses were paid out while Merrill was being bought out by B of A. Bank of America's CEO Ken Lewis would not provide the names in a lengthy deposition last night. One more thing the bank won't do is make a big promotional deal for the new Yankee Stadium. Those talks just ended. B of A has also taken billions and billions of dollars in government bailout money. The Dow lost about 89 points yesterday, just over a percent, to 71.82. The Nasdaq and S&P were also down. European shares are between 2 and 2.5% lower right now. In Asia today, markets were mixed. Vice President Joe Biden is in Philadelphia for the first meeting of his so-called middle-class task force. Today's focus will be raising standards of living by promoting jobs that help the environment. Ashley Milne-Tite explains.
How do green jobs and the middle class go together? Mark Allen Hughes is Philadelphia's sustainability director. He says traditionally a middle-class job was a stable job.
And a key element of stability is to be part of a growing sector. That's the attraction of the so-called green job sector, that when we're talking about renewable energy and energy efficiency in buildings, that you're making a commitment to the jobs for which you train people.
He says the sector will grow fast in coming years, fueled initially by government funding. Sushada Pointer is a newly trained energy auditor in Philly. She earns $11 an hour.
I start from the bottom and work my way up. But so far, it has been a big opening door for me.
A door she expects many others to step through as people and businesses try to save money through energy conservation. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, helping more than 250,000 small businesses and nonprofits succeed using email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, a smart way to reach your customers. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
We've been mentioning the Marketplace Whiteboard all week. This is our series of online videos that breaks down terms behind the fallout of the economic crisis. Our man at the whiteboard, senior editor Patty Hirsch, is with us now to answer some of the questions that have come up, that have come in from listeners this week. Patty, we're used to seeing you at that whiteboard. Nice to have you in the studio for a change.
Well, it's very nice to be here. Thank you.
One of the most popular videos is the one about credit default swaps, and we happen to get a couple questions about this. The first one comes from Minneapolis, and this person asks, why offer collateral to get someone to buy insurance on investments? That doesn't happen anywhere else.
It's absolutely right. It doesn't happen anywhere else. Well, certainly not in our world. You know, if we're insuring a car or a house, you don't ask the insurance company to put up collateral. We just expect it to survive, right? In the credit default swap world, these guys that are buying insurance, they are essentially hedging. You know, if there is any problems in their portfolio, they want to hedge against it. And whenever they buy anything, they want to be hedged. And they might look at this person who's selling them insurance and say, I want to make sure that if there's any problems with you, I'm hedged against that, and therefore I want some collateral. And the guy who's selling him insurance is happy about that because he's also buying and selling insurance himself. He's hedging everything. So he understands that this person who he's selling insurance to wants to be hedged. He also wants to be hedged. So he says, okay, I'll put up a little collateral for you. That'll make you feel good. And, you know, it's a little bit of a sweetener to get you into my deal.
And then comes a company like AIG, which lost a lot of money because it couldn't live up to those commitments for credit default swaps. That brings us to this question from a listener in Florida that says, you know, with that and the fact that AIG had backed up a lot of banks with credit default swaps, aren't we paying twice for the same loss?
Well, we should probably go back and talk about what it was that initially got AIG into trouble. And that, again, is this collateral issue. You know, AIG had this collateral that it had put up, and it had an agreement that said if its credit rating fell, then it would have to put up more collateral, that is to say, more cash. And that's exactly what happened. Whenever Lehman Brothers went into bankruptcy, there was a systemic failure or potential systemic failure. The rating agencies dropped the ratings on a number of financial services companies, including AIG. AIG then had to put up more money. And that was money that it didn't have.
So what you're saying is we may very well be paying more than twice.
Quite possibly, yeah.
Lots of questions we weren't able to get to, Patty. And we hope to have you back to do that. Senior editor Patty Hirsch, also known as our whiteboard guru. Thanks so much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Check out the whiteboard series at marketplace.org. Also, Scott Jagow is enjoying daytime working hours. If you haven't read his Scratchpad blog yet, please check it out. Good stuff. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.